Let's do look at our verse real quick before we go there. In our bulletin on the left-hand side near the bottom, we'll just go through it once this evening. We'll share the reference and then the verse, please, in our bulletin for the month of April. And then we'll look at 2 Timothy there. So let's go ahead and share that verse. Isaiah 61:11. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Thank you very much. Let's put that aside now. Now let's go to 2 Timothy, please. Chapter number 3. How many came to church tonight hoping for some encouragement? Well, I'm going to disappoint you for a few minutes here. Here's what 2 Timothy chapter 3 starts out with. Matter of fact, if you'd read that with me, verse 1, verse 2. Would you read those two verses, just the beginning of the chapter there? Let's read those out loud together too, please. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, and the list goes on. The Bible here uses the word perilous, and it says in the last days, perilous times, which indicates there are other times other than the last days that there will be perilous times. The word perilous means difficult to deal with or troublesome. Interestingly, verse number 2 starts out with some narcissistic behavior. It says, for men shall be lovers of who? Their own selves, the Bible says. And then the list goes on issues that happen because of this self-love. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, later on verse 3, without natural affection, truce breakers, despisers of those that are good, fierce, etc. And what a terrible picture it shows about the last days and what perilous times can look like. The historian and author Amy Henderson writes this: every generation is guilty of putting the me in its media. And with each generation of media technology, the me gets bigger. Would you agree with that? She makes a lot of sense, I think. How many remember in the 1970s, there was a famous article in Time magazine, back when Time was real big, called The Me Generation. Anybody remember that? Some of you might if you were into that at the time. They say that not only are we still in the me generation, but we're now they call it the generation me, which somehow, I guess, envelops even more of a sense of self-centeredness. Postmodernism, which emphasizes skepticism, has taught people to think that there is no such thing as absolute truth or morals. Boy, have we seen that in our culture. Ultimately, it teaches that there is no God. Romans chapter 1 talks about this. It's not anything new. Verse 28 tells us that men do not like to retain God in their knowledge. Lawlessness in our society certainly qualifies our days as perilous and troubling. Boy, you can't hardly turn on the news or see in the news feeds about some terrible thing that someone did against the law, whether it was to hurt others or against law enforcement, etc. And it seems to be getting worse. We can be troubled about the economy, the lack of leadership among our governmental leaders. Side note here, has anybody heard from our president since this bombing started in Israel? Leadership in our government and the wars and the unrest in our world today. Have I sufficiently discouraged you yet? Are you depressed yet? Because guess what? We're going to look at what the Bible has to say on how to respond to perilous days. You know, perilous days, we don't have to wait for perilous days to come when Jesus is about to return to the earth. We've seen perilous days. And I would say that we are in some perilous days as we consider what's going on in the world. But I'd like to share with you how to respond to perilous days. So the title tonight is Five Ways to Respond to Perilous Days. Five Ways to Respond to Perilous Days. Before we go any further, would you bow with me? We'll ask God to help us as we look in His Word tonight. Heavenly Father, certainly there are perilous and troubling things around us, nothing new, but it seems at a quicker pace. It seems enveloping more people and taking certainly a younger generation by storm. Oh God, we sure need your help, and we need your help tonight. Now, Lord, show us, how can we get through these days with your blessing to delight you? How we can obey you even in the midst of troublesome times. Now, God, I pray, show us, not only through your word, but that your Holy Spirit would help us, Lord, encourage us, comfort us, counsel us, so that we might do what you'd have us to do. I pray that you'd fill me, Lord, with that spirit that is yours and not my own. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Five ways to respond to perilous days. Number one, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's go there. Number one. As we consider perilous days, what would you say is the number one encouraging thing the Bible tells us to a Christian today about living in this time? What is the number one encouraging thing to the Christian about living in this time? This is what I think, that Jesus is coming again. And that's what we find out here in the Bible. Number one, make perilous days a reminder that Christ is coming again. Chapter 15 is where we're at. So much in chapter 15. It's got a lot of verses, but verse number 51 is what we want to look at. We'll start here. Verse 51, verse 52, behold, I show you a mystery. Remember, I shared about mysteries this morning, mysteries in the New Testament, not all of them, but for the most part, mysteries are things that God makes known to the New Testament believers. The Old Testament saints did not know, but it is revealed by the Holy Spirit. Here he says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, verse 52, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. 1 Thessalonians 4, let's go there. 1 Thessalonians 4. We want to look at verse number 16 and 17, verse 16 and 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Verse 18 there says, wherefore comfort, lift up, come alongside one another with these words. Make perilous days a reminder that Christ is coming again. For that reason, our hearts have hope. And the truth is, the more troubling the world looks, according to the Bible, the closer we are to Christ coming again. If I read the Bible correctly, the worse things get, the closer we are to the Lord Jesus return. That's number one, how to respond to the perilous days. Number two, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse number 5. Let me start with verse 5, reading down to verse 7. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, he's talking about Timothy here specifically, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Number two, make perilous days a reminder of the Spirit God has given us. Now, the Spirit here is not the Holy Spirit. How do you know why? It's not capitalized. There are plenty of passages that tell us that the Holy Spirit dwells within us. This is that spirit of boldness, that spirit to work for God, that spirit to do something that He's called us to do. And God says, I want to remind you, even in these perilous days, I still have things for you to do, and I'm going to give you the desire and opportunity to do them. Our hope isn't in the things man can do or a possible political switch. How many are hoping that this election changes things in our country? I'm praying for that. There's nothing wrong with that, but that is not where our hope lies. Our hope lies in Jesus Christ. Even if things don't turn out the way we hope, on this earth, we still have what we know is true in the spiritual world. Hebrews 12, verse number 2, looking unto Jesus, the author, the beginning, the writer, and finisher, the one who completes our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Wow. That's what you got tonight, folks. That's what you got. You got the Spirit that God has given to continue to live for him. And we need that for another week at least, don't we? We sure do. Number three, Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. So in these perilous times, number one, we want to make sure and remember Christ is coming again. We also want to be reminded of the Spirit God's given us. And number three, we want to make perilous days a reminder of the call to witness for Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 1. Often used in regards to witnessing, but I want to point out a couple phrases here that share with us we're at that time where we need to be busy about letting others know about the Lord Jesus. Verse 7, verse 8. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. This verse right here and a couple others is why I don't say, man, Jesus is definitely coming back in 2024. Because it's not for me to know or for anybody to know for that matter. Certainly he could, and maybe according to us he should, but it's not up to us. He says, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye, speaking of his disciples and those that know Christ, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Let me ask you this. Is there still parts of the earth that have not heard the name of Jesus? In 2024, there is an estimate out there that I think it's 50%. Maybe that's the estimate. We are so used to America and Europe and so forth having had somewhat of a witness over the decades and centuries, but there's parts of the world and peoples that have not heard his name. And wow, we need to be praying that God would use us. But not only that, if God calls you to Laos, amen, go to Laos. That's what Brother Ray said. Man, if God calls me, I got to go, even though it's a country that, if they knew he was there, would want him out. But what about across the street or next door? What about those folks? They need to. They're just as much in need of the Lord Jesus. We are to take the truth of the gospel and share it with folks along life's way. Winning people to Christ, helping them grow in the faith, is the final command Jesus gave before he ascended. Not only here in Acts 1, but Matthew 28, where we read about the Great Commission. Remember, he shared with his disciples, go ye therefore into all the world, teaching. Let's look at it. Yeah, I always mess it up. Let's go. Matthew 28, 19. He says in verse 19, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. These are God's commands, Christ's commands, right before he went up into heaven. Make perilous days a reminder of the call to witness for Jesus Christ. How many remember someone witnessing to them, whether it was a parent, somebody in the family, or somebody else, a stranger that gave you that word about the Lord Jesus? Hey, praise God for that person, amen? And God wants you and I to be that kind of person, for somebody, for someone else. Make perilous days a reminder of the call to witness. Number four, 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's go there. Starting in verse number 1. What should we do? How should we respond in these kind of perilous times, these days? Well, number 4, here's what it is. I'll give it to you and then we'll read the passage. Make perilous days a reminder to pray for our government. Make perilous days a reminder to pray for our government. 1 Timothy 2, let's look at verse 1 through 4. Here's what it says. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. Is there any other kind of prayers you can think of? Be made for all men. And then he says, here's who the all men are. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Again, I shared with you before, and maybe you saw this, the picture of our Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. How many have seen know who Mike Johnson is? He's our Speaker in our National Congress. When he first came into that position, the news media had a field day with this, that the first thing he wanted to do was have a prayer meeting on the floor of the congressional room. Wow. Have you ever heard that happen in your lifetime? I hadn't. I'm not saying that none others have not prayed. I think there's been a lot of prayer in that room. But to do it in such a public way and say, we're going to do things the way God directs us as much as we know how, that's the way I took it. And that's the way we ought to keep praying for them. The Bible tells us here in 1 Timothy that is something that pleases the Lord. Look at verse number 3. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. We are bound to obey God above men. But even Apostle Paul tells the Christians in Rome. By the way, do you think the Christians in Rome knew about the corruption in the government? They saw it firsthand. They knew exactly what those kind of people in authority were all about, how rotten they could be. But go to Romans 13. Let's see what Paul told them and in turn tells us. Romans 13. And this is good incentive for praying for our government because we have to deal with them. We have to deal with what they decide and end up sending our way. Romans 13. Looking at verse 1 and verse number 2. And the whole chapter, most of the chapter, refers to this, our relationship with government. But verse number 1 and 2 says this, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves, what? Damnation, the Bible says. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. That is, of the higher powers, the authorities that God has placed. We all know our president and Congress leaders, as well as justices in the Supreme Court, they need to be supported through our prayers. You can't support them for their decisions a lot, but you can support them with prayer. And how much time does that take out of your day? Lord, be with so-and-so, be with so-and-so. Take some time, find out who some of those people are. By the way, our congressman for our area here in Eaton Rapids, I think part of DeWitt and so forth is Now his name escapes me. Yeah, I'm sorry. See how much I pray for him? But he is a Christian. He's a Christian who represents us in this district, at least in the representatives. So we need to pray for these people. We need to pray for them whether they're saved or not. Number five, let's go to Philippians. Philippians, and we'll all read this together. Philippians chapter 4. So if I discouraged you earlier, it's just because I told you the truth. But thankfully, God's truth is better. Amen? God's truth is encouraging. So number one, in perilous days, make it a reminder that Christ is coming again. Number two, in perilous days, make it a reminder of the Spirit that God has given us. Number three, make our perilous days a reminder of the call to witness for Jesus. Number four, make perilous days a reminder to pray for our government. Number five, make perilous days a reminder of what God helps us to think on. A reminder of what God helps us to think on. Let's read Philippians chapter 4. We want to start in verse number 4, read down to verse number 9. I'm sorry, let's go read to verse number 11. And let's read responsibly. I'll read verse 4, you read verse 5, back and forth. Verse 11 is where we'll stop. So I'll start with verse 4. Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity.
Not that I seek in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content.
Okay, thank you. How do we know we can apply this to perilous times, perilous days? Take a look at verse number 5. That shares with us. This is applicable to these kinds of times. Let your moderation be known unto all men. What's the last phrase? The Lord is at hand. Hey, he's ready to come. He's ready to be here. And he's awaiting the Heavenly Father to say, now's the time. But until then, he says, be careful for nothing and everything by prayer. You want God's peace? You have to be in prayer. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, so keep your hearts and minds. And then he goes on to say, with that peace in mind, here's some things to dwell upon. Instead of, you know, the latest political situation, circuses going on, state of wars, instead of difficulties or fears, think on these things, things that are honest and just and pure and lovely, of good report, that are of virtue, and that are can be praised in the eyes of God. Think on these things. Now notice verse 9 again. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall what? Be with you. Shall be with you. Isn't that what we're praying for Israel? Even God says in his word, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, which of course the whole land would love that kind of prayer too. But Jerusalem's not the only place that needs peace. We need it too. And God in his grace has shown us, even in perilous days, times, we can have it. We can have it. These are just a few things. I think there's many more. But as we look and watch what's going on, and maybe even the possibility of how involved America's going to be in some of these things, Let's dwell on these things instead of fear, instead of intrepidation, but that God in His grace has a way for us to get through this. I'm looking for the Lord's coming again, aren't you? We've got a young couple coming to our house in a few days. They're looking at a whole life together, but if God decides differently, then praise the Lord. If He decides to wait another 100 years, praise the Lord. We'll continue to honor Him. Heavenly Father, thank You that we can honor You in this time. The things we read in Scripture, they seem to be happening right before our eyes. But Lord, in the same way, help us to follow what Your Word says in response to those things, in love for You, in obedience to Your Word. Lord, I pray You'd make us, our very church, the lighthouse You've called us to be in this community, to families and people who need You, as we all do. But help us individually, Lord, also, to make a choice, Father, not to live in fear of these times, but to live in anticipation of what You and Your Holy Spirit want to do, what the name of Jesus can do in the lives of people. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Doug's going to come lead us in this song. If God's spoken to you tonight, why don't you respond? That's what we've been talking about, responding to what we see, and yet God says, here's how we can behave, here's how we can respond. If God's spoken to you, that's a way it needs to change for you. Why don't you do that? As we stand, we'll sing
462.
462. Let's stand together. We'll sing that song, 462.